The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome, church. Welcome, first-timers. If you're visiting, welcome. It's good to see you all. I am very excited, and I hope they turn this mic down because I am just pumped up right now after all that. Amen. Could you feel the presence? Amen. Gosh, you know, when I play like that, it's just God's spirit moving, and you can't contain it. If you were me, you'd understand. 30 years of drumming and the Holy Spirit grabbed you, you just give it to God. You all have a gift and you give it to Him. Amen? Let's pray before we get started. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank You and we love You. We thank You for this great day. Lord, for many people, Monday, it starts tomorrow. For me, God, personally, this is the start of my week, Sunday, the Lord's Day. This is a great way to start our week, God, Sunday morning praising You. So the rest of the week will have what it has, God, but we're here to praise You and worship You. We just pray the Holy Spirit comes this morning and just fills us, cleanses us, helps us, breaks us, and grows us, God. Have Your way in our hearts this morning through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited, as I said. And I am grateful and thankful that I'm seeing Remnant grow. Baby steps, but yes, amen, it's growing because almost every year when we have this snow trip, there's probably 10 people here. And I was drumming today. I was like, wow, Lord, look at all these people. But let me tell you something, friends, brothers and sisters, all of you that are in Christ in this building this morning, I have prayed for all of you this week, not by name, some of you, because I do not know you, but I said, God, You bring the people this morning that need to hear this message from Your mouth through my heart to their ears, amen? So you're here to hear from God, not what Frank has to say, not what Jerry says or Jeremiah says, it's what God speaks through His word, through His people, amen? And I want to speak about time. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Just verse 15. I have had a busy week like I know all of you have had. Some of you more than others. I'm a type that preps my sermons and notes weeks ahead. I had no time these past 2 weeks. And that's what I'm talking about, time. It was just busy. Bible studies, counseling, trying to tend to my new wife, all the hours I work all day and spend time with her. And it's just been, like Jerry said, it's been hard and the enemy's been hitting. But that is not going to stop me. That is not going to stop me from bringing the word of God. I don't want to ever stop. I want to keep going. And I encourage you. I know some of you are tired and you just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't matter. We're going to make it to the other end because Jesus is there. And we need to give Him the time to help us get there. Amen? Ezra chapter 8, verse 15 reads like this. I believe I have a different, that might be a God's Word translation. I brought my NIV. Reads like this. Now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of the Levites there. That's why I called it not on the list. I'm going to emphasize on those Levites, on those God-fearing followers, the believers. And I'm going to try and time into it. You know, my friend Jesus, he's sitting right up here, and I was telling him what I was talking about, and he's got a shirt on and says, I ain't got time for that. And he thought of a great thing to put sin on top. Put sin. Ain't got time for that. Amen? So we're going to work on that, Jesus, me and you. And also, some of you that are starting to come help in the mornings, God bless you and thank you. Again, I preached a couple of weeks ago, and I encourage you to sign the builder's card, your notes. put your phone number and text me, Frank. I can help on so-and-so on Sunday. I'm already lining that up. We already got a little group going. So if you're interested and God stirs you to come here around 8:30 to help us set up, and maybe once a month, it'd be grateful. And you're doing a service to God, not to us. See, like Jerry and Jeremiah says, we're not up here to get paid. And I just read a scripture at work the other day, which I should be working, but I've been trying to study for this. It says that the godly priests don't get paid. It's just whatever God provides. And I am blessed to do this. I don't care if I don't get paid. I want Christ to be preached. I want people to change, lives to be changed, hearts transformed, because I've been through a lot and I want to share that with you. And where were these Levites? And some of us just have no time. And I pondered that, time. And probably Jesus writing us a letter. And he wrote me a letter. Yeah, Jesus wrote to me. And I want to share it with you about time and our Lord Jesus Christ and what he thinks about time and how he spoke to my heart about time before I get into this sermon. The letter goes like this, and this is for all of us. Think about time, your time, what you do all day. A letter from Jesus. Will you have any time for me today? When you get up this morning, I will observe you and wait to see if you will talk with me. Even if it's a few words in asking my opinion or sharing your gratitude for something good that had happened to you yesterday. But I noticed you were too busy looking for something to wear for work and to look your best. I kept waiting for you as you ran around the house in getting ready to leave for work. When I saw you pause for a couple of minutes, but aw chucks, you went to answer a text or a Facebook mail in hopes you would talk with me. At least to say hello, but you were too busy for me. I even made a perfect weather day this morning for you, a small cool breeze and birds to sing, to see if that would get your attention for me. But you didn't even notice that. I watched as you drove to work, as you played your favorite song and hoped you would sing to me, but you were too busy for me. And I waited patiently throughout the whole day to see if you would talk to me and say anything to me. But again, you were extremely too busy for me today. On your drive home from work, I saw your tiredness, and I wanted to touch and refresh you from your stress as you drank your bottled water driving home. But you were too busy thinking of all the other little things you need to do when you get home. You are too extremely busy for me. How I wished in your 30-minute drive home, you would think of me, but you are too busy for me. So I waited patiently all afternoon as you sat through your evening of watching your favorite TV shows and surfing the internet in things that are to entertain you. Still, you will not stop and think of me at all and thank me for your day. You are too busy for me today. I noticed your tiredness, and I understand your needs. As the rest, I know you have. But as you get ready for bed, so I make night so you may rest. As you lay there in hopes you would say anything to me, you are too busy for me today. And now, as you put all your family to bed, you fell on your bed and quickly fell to sleep. So I made angels to make heavenly music as you slept. Maybe you don't care, or maybe you just did not notice. I was there for you. I was with you all the time, hoping you would talk with me for a little time. If for a brief moment, that would be fine. But you were too busy for me today. I have more patience than you can imagine in hoping you would talk to me. I love you so much that I wait every day for you to talk to me. You can always count on me when you're tired, sad, offended, or confused. Whenever you want to talk to me, I will be right there for you. I always think of you. Well, you will have to wait tomorrow for another day, and I'll be waiting again to see if you will talk to me. Pretty cool, huh? That's how Jesus talks to me. He wants to hear from you guys. He loves us. He paid a big price on the cross. Yet we don't make the time for him. And folks, I'll say this so I'm blue in the face. As a minister, as a man that has been through a lot, you don't spend time in God's word and give him some time in prayer and change a little bit of your ways, you're going to have troubles. Do I have troubles? Yes. Can you tell I have them? I have them, but they slide off because Jesus is my strength. I wanted to quit this week at work. One guy quit. My coworker girl almost quit. So this Friday, I went to the warehouse and cried to God. I said, God, just keep me going. Keep me going. Time is important. Time in every moment is important. But how busy is it for you? Do you know what tomorrow's going to have? Some of you have plans already, scheduled your week. But you don't know how it's going to unfold. Look at James 4:14. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that is seen for a moment and then disappears. See, God created time for us. God is not in time. He's always been, always will be. He made years, months, seasons for us to enjoy. And man created a clock in time. What if there was a bank that deposited to your name in your bank account $86,400 every day? Woohoo! Man, we'd have a huge old church and nice ACs and plush recliner chairs. Little buzzers to wake you up in certain moments of the service. That's a lot of money. $84,600 dropped in your deposit every day. But there was a catch. The bank said, you know what? We're going to do this just for you. But this is the catch. At the end of the day, what you didn't use, we're taking it away. What? So that's going to push you to go spend more, huh? Push on it. Get it spent. $84,600. At the end of the day, it's gone. Start all over every day. You know how many seconds are in a 24-hour period? 84,600. And God is depositing that time to us. Well, what are you putting it? How are you using it? How much do you have left at the end of the day? In the time you spent with Christ, in His Word, sharing something, thinking, your mind, even in your thoughts. God says He reads our thoughts, folks. He knows how often you think about Him. He's jealous. He wants you. He wants our time. We need to understand the importance of time. How important can a month be? I can go next month and help, maybe, sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to the Bible study next month. Ask the lady that had the preemie baby 1 month too soon and almost died. A month is important. How about a week? I'll go next week to church. Gotta watch sports. Gotta go visit my comadre. Gotta go visit so-and-so. A week is important as well. Ask the seminary editor that has to have these papers ready at the end of the week. A week is important. How about a minute? A minute is important. Some of you are a few minutes late for worship. But that's between you and God. I am not here to judge you. I'm just here to tell you what God would say. How important is it to you to be here to worship Him? I had kids. I had a busy home. But I drug them here early. It wasn't easy. But a minute is important. Ask the guy that missed the train by a minute and missed the funeral cross country of his dad's death. How about a second? A second is important. Ask that teenager that was texting and caused an accident and killed someone. Seconds are important. How about the millisecond? This is the last one. I thought it was cool to add in there about time. So we can get a reference of what God can do and how He uses time. How about a millisecond? Ask the gold medalist that won that gold. Took a lot of work to get there. Time. It's important, folks. If it's important to God, it's important to us. If He created time for us, we need to use the time. In chapter 8, Ezra starts with a bunch of names. When I spoke last time, I spoke right at the beginning of Ezra chapter 1. Ezra does not appear until chapter 6, right around there. But in Ezra, chapter 1, the verse, chapter 8, it's already the people are getting ready. The king is blessing them, and he's sending them out to go to rebuild their city, their town, and get their lives straightened out and go seek their God. And now here in chapter 8, it starts with a bunch of names. And I ask, why is there a bunch of names? You know why? It shows their testimony. Their names are there. Garcia, Gonzalez, Sanchez, Jimenez, whoever last name is. You know why their names are in there? Because it shows their testimony, and they're not embarrassed or followers of God. Sometimes we can be embarrassed or ashamed to say, I'm a follower of God. The Bible clearly says, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. We need to take that time and say, I'm a believer. If they ask you, don't go hammer people on the head and tell them they're sinners. But if they ask you, you believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, He's my Lord and Savior. That's why these names are there. They're important. But are you on the list for God? Are you on that list to serve Him? Are you willing to be on that list? Are you willing to sacrifice time? We need to, folks. We need to start sacrificing some time for the Lord. And also, these people separated themselves. You see, Ezra was born in Babylon. Can you imagine? Here's a Christian family that loves Christ, and they moved to Vegas. That's a happening city, huh? I don't know why I went there, but we'll find out. And now they're going to have a baby. There's a lot to do in Vegas. I've been there as a pastor. And I'll share something I've never said. I went with another group of pastors. I wasn't at this church. I was at another church invited. And there was a few men in our men's group that we were trying to be examples, mentoring. We just went to check it out. And we went to eat. And we're, of course, walking in front of some of these clubs. And I always have Jesus shirts on, something about Jesus, the scripture. And we want to go in there and get those Twinkies that are deep fried with chocolate. Oh, they're so good. And one of the pastors, Frank, we got to go in here. It looks pretty rough, but if you want to go in there. And as you're getting into this building, there's a girl there with almost nothing on, all these beads, and they're giving you beads as you go in. And I didn't want to go in there, but I said, okay, I'm going to go get a Twinkie. So I walked up to her. I walked up to her on her own with the Lord's presence. She was going to put it on me. She saw the word Jesus, and she just put her head down and started tearing. I go, it's okay, Mija, just give it to me in my hand. She knew right away I was a follower of God. She goes, thank you, God bless you. And she just handed it to me. I didn't put it on. I just carried it in. See, you carry God's presence. You know, they were in Babylon. And these parents raised Ezra. And Ezra, all he did was learn God's word. He became a teacher and a scholar in the middle of, imagine, trying to be a Christian living in the middle of Vegas. Living right there on the strip. We live in a society where there's a lot out there for us, but there's a lot of churches we can visit or get plugged in with. But yet we don't volunteer. Get in there. Get in the mix. And Ezra did that. He grew in the middle of Babylon, learns God's word so well. He became a teacher, a scholar, and then God called him out in chapter 6. Go rebuild your city. Go find your God. And he was excited. You know what Ezra's name means in Hebrew? It means helper. Ezra means helper. And he was so excited to go to Jerusalem. And guess what happens when he gets there? You're right, he's got a list of people that backed him up. No Levites, though, because Levites are God's people. And they march in, and guess what they see? Rubble. The city's all tore up. The followers of God are over there partying with the pagans and doing their own thing. Where were the Levites? And all the Christians there in the middle of this rubble forgot about God. Just going along with the time, yeah. We do this, we do that. We follow what they do. Yeah, our world has a lot of programs we can watch that aren't good for us. But there's a lot of good stuff we can watch. Documentaries, Bible stories, true stories, war stories. I like to watch war movies, but true ones. Because that's what made our country. But we're so far off the mark. Our world has consumed us with time. You know what I noticed as I live my life here recently, this past few weeks, as I look around, I'm an observant. Jerry and Jeremiah can tell you the same thing. Being a pastor, you start observing people. I was at the mall with my wife a while back, and I told her, honey, I'm sorry, but I'm always just observing families, how they're acting, how they're treating each other, just trying to show Jesus. You know what I see? All of us do it. Our faces in that little phone screen like 80% of the time of our day. And if you're reading scripture or texting scriptures, good for you. But what are you really doing in front of that screen most of the time? Yeah, you can text your children, I love you, honey, pray, have a good day, God bless you. Throw God in there somewhere. Text someone, hey, send me a verse, I want to start. Text me, I'll shoot you some verses. Oh, I got a lot of them. We got to spend time in Jesus. And these people were in the middle of the rubble. And the ones that were on the list of the very beginning of Ezra, they left the comforts of Babylon because they had it made. These people were there. They were in exile, but they had some freedom there in Babylon. They chose to leave their comforts to start a new life with God. They chose the difficult journey and to face the dangers of whatever was ahead. We face dangers. We face problems. We face situations we don't like, but it's part of our life to refine us. God's trying to humble us, to draw him more to him and spend more time with him. But we fight it and we want to do it our own way. Spend our own time in our own methods. It's not going to work, folks. You don't give Jesus the time, it's not going to work. He will humble you and he will correct you. The word of God is to correct and to teach. And we need to spend time in it. Are you willing to be on the list to serve God? Or are you counting the cost? Are you too busy for Jesus? Can't sacrifice some time for him? Or would you rather stay in the comfort of your Babylonian life in your own little world, doing it your own way? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I thought it was worth it before I knew Jesus. This is my life. This is my time. I do whatever I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm a man now. And boy, when I started learning scripture, was I so wrong. First of all, I was a poor father. Second of all, a bad husband. And third of all, a bad friend because I lied all the time to my friends. But once I started reading here in God's holy scripture and spending more time and sticking my nose more in this book than anything else, it started transforming me and it started making me hungrier to give him more time. And God is my witness right now. And I testify that and I give the glory to Jesus Christ. He is my life and the source of my life. I didn't make it through this hectic week because Jesus helped me make it. I didn't want to make it. He helped me make it. Got the orders out, put up with the boss, dealt with the stacks of paperwork and some employees that aren't very nice. A lot of them are sailors. Jesus gave me the strength to get through and make it here. I was so stressed, concerned. My wife's like, God's got this, honey. Just don't worry about it. You'll get the sermon ready. I got it ready yesterday. I barely had a little window. But God will always do it if you spend time with him. Ezra, you know why Ezra used the Ahava River? I didn't know. I did my homework again in one day. You know why he used the river? That river was used because most of the Jews, the believers of God, lived around the edge of that river. And you know why he went there? In hopes that they would follow. Come on. We're going to go rebuild. We're going to go serve God. We're going to grow in Jesus. Sadly, no one came along. No one came along. No one followed Ezra. And he went a little further. They set up camp right outside their city to get their attention. And sadly, no one joins. Like today, I said it earlier, churches all, we have many churches. Oh, Frank, but I live kind of far, and sometimes I call for a ride. And please, I say this boldly, I'm not running you away, but if you have a church closer to your home, go there. If there's a Bible study somewhere closer to your home, you have problems with rides or cars, go there. Jesus is in the Christian realm. He's one body. If they're preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and his holy word, go. Give them the time. Give them the time. People are too busy doing their own things with their own time. And why didn't the Levites join? That was my question. Where were they? Let's look at Ezra 8:17. We'll read a little further, that same chapter 8. I was wondering, where are the Levites? And it says this in Ezra 8:17. I sent them to Iddo, the leader of the Levites, at the Cassiphia, to ask him and his relatives and the temple servants to send us ministers for the temple of God at Jerusalem. You know which word stuck out for me in that scripture? I wanted to know where the Levites were. They were in Cassiphia. That word in Hebrew, Cassiphia, I didn't put it up there in the PowerPoint, means silver or mountains of silver. In other words, like I said the last time, there was a lot of bling bling there. A lot of money. Kind of like Vegas. So these Levites are over there hanging out in Vegas. And here comes Ezra marching with his people to go build God's house and their lives. And they pass and Levites are too busy. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Spending time in front of that screen machine. God's calling you, folks. But Frank, I do spend time. He wants more. But Frank, I work all day. So do I. I work 12-hour days all this week, just about. 30-minute lunches. I boast in Christ. There's no excuse, folks. You can find time. And in between the busyness, I will look at my notes and try to put a scripture, read something, go to the warehouse and pray. Pray in my mind. Some of you are texting me for scripture and encouragement. Praise the Lord. Let's work for Jesus as I work hard for the world as well, because He gave me that job. But there's no excuse. You can make time. You can make time. And here, these Levites are in the bling bling city, Cassiphia. And the Levites chose to spend their time there. And they were giving their time to other things. Look at it, Ezra. Look what happens when you stop following God or staying plugged in or giving them more time. Now I'm going to go to the next chapter, Ezra 9, verse 1. After these things had been done, they were setting up, they're in Israel, they're working on getting it fixed up. News got back to Ezra, it says, and the leaders came to me and said, saying to Ezra, the people of Israel, including the priests, the Levites, have failed to keep themselves separate from the neighboring groups of people and from the disgusting practices of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. All these ites people were partiers. They loved to do all kinds of things that were totally against God. And that's the type of world we live in, where they want us to do there and follow along. No, be like the bass fish, swim against the current, not with the current. It's easier to go along with the current, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be away from God and following the crowd. We're called to go the other way and follow Jesus at all costs. Amen. Time. And they were partying. These Levites were just getting involved in all these things. And these are God's people giving their time to all the wrong things. After God delivered them, God delivered them. And some still chose to stay in Babylon. Are you choosing that? Are you choosing to say, no, you know what? No, it's going to be done my way. I don't care what God's word says. I'm the leader here. I run this show. I run this party here in this temple. No, you don't. You can if you want to. You choose if you want to. But you got to give it to God one day. You're going to face Him. And this zeal is from God. He wants you to give Him that time, folks. I want to be a Jeremiah. Not our Jeremiah. The biblical one. Nothing wrong with Jeremiah Vick. What I meant, let me clarify that for the tape and the recording if he sees this. The Jeremiah, the Isaiah that brought messages that convicted the people. And it still didn't work then. It's not even working now. We need to wake the people up. God's people are just spending too much time doing other things. Not knocking the other things we like to do. I have a lot of things I like to do on my spare time. But I try to give more to God so my spare time could be blessed even more. And right now in this new life, in this newness, in this new year, God has blessed me with a new wife, and I'm working so hard to spend all the time that I can. You know, when I don't have time, you know what the best thing I can do to have time with her? Wash the dishes with her. Get out, honey, I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm just going to check you out. How are you doing? If that's what it takes, I just want to be with her because I don't see her all day. Sometimes I can sneak out from lunch. I got 30 minutes. I'll run and... You want food? No, I just want to hug you and kiss you and tell you I love you and go back to work. Ask her anything after church. I'm a transparent person, and my wife's going to learn to too because I'm putting her on the spot. You can ask her anything of how our life is. I want her to learn with me how a godly marriage should be and how to follow God in His scripture. Not perfect, but work at it. And I'm trying to make time for her. And I know the look once in a while. Okay, yeah, whatever. Oh. So I go out of my way to try to make moments with her, go to town, whatever. We talk in bed, go to sleep talking because we hardly have time. I enjoy talking with Olivia. You should enjoy talking with your loved ones, husbands. Make that time. Oh, Frank, you don't understand. I've been married like 15, 20 years. Yeah, we're newlyweds, but I've been married before too. And that time was important too, to be with her. And when the wife can't come to church, the husband should come. And when the husband can't, and vice versa, you know the routine. One of you can be here. You edify each other as a couple. Time is important, folks. Time is important. And these Levites were giving their time to other things other than God. After God delivered them. He has delivered us, folks. We're free in Jesus Christ to live as we want to, scripturally. Scripturally, what has helped you captive? What has held you captive? What are you giving your time more to? What holds you in chains that you think you can't break from or break through? Jesus Christ can give you a breakthrough if you choose Him too. I was a drug addict. Jesus delivered from me that because I chose to give Him the time and said, Jesus, I don't want to do drugs no more. Jesus broke me up from the alcohol that I drank and consumed every day. I said, Jesus, break the alcohol. He broke the alcohol. I said, Jesus, break the line from my lying mouth. He broke the line in my mouth. I said, Jesus, teach me to love my wife and my kids. And He taught me how through His word and giving them the time. I challenge all of you, anytime this week, text me and give me your excuse or reason why you can't. And I'm going to give you a verse. I'm not going to say anything. Frank will not tell you. God will. And He's talking to you right now, folks. What holds you? The devil loves to tell you you can't. Or you know what? You're all right. You're okay. The enemy is a liar, man. He loves to talk to your ear. You can miss one Sunday once in a while. It's all right. Turn on the TV. Go make a breakfast burrito and lay down. I say this because I think it, but I can't do it because I need to be here. I'm called to lead. Here I am. But I have a wife that will cook anything for me. Or go buy it if we have to, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to be here. This is more important. And the enemy will come lie to you. You remember Eve? Remember Adam and Eve? What did he tell Eve? Did God really say that? Come on, just take a little bite. You got time? So good. Ain't nobody got time for that. Right. I asked him to swap shirts, but his probably, mine wouldn't fit him. Well, you know the story. He's bigger. I meant bigger this guy. I'm a little guy. We got to make time for God, guys. And the devil will always lie to you. Only God's word can teach us to be good stewards of our time. Look at Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. Everything written long ago was written to teach us so that we would have confidence through the endurance and encouragement which the scriptures give. There it is. You want strength? You want things to change in your lives? Give the scripture a chance. Why the scriptures? Because it's God's word. God is speaking to you. Frank, but I never hear from God. The first thing I say is, do you read your Bible? Frank, I can't sleep. Do you read your Bible? Most people fall asleep reading the Bible. So if you can't sleep, read your Bible. You'll fall asleep, guaranteed. Some of you faster than others. Whatever it takes. Only God's Word can teach us, and He'll give us endurance. I'm going to go through my points really quick. Point one is do things today. Do things today. Verse 15 says, Ezra said, I assembled the exiles at the Ahav River. Ezra did not wait. He didn't get there and say, guys, I'm tired. Maybe we'll set up tomorrow. Like the Mexican Hispanics always say, mañana. Why we say mañana? That means tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. You never do it. I tell my wife sometimes, I'll throw the trash tomorrow in case your dad comes. I don't want to see the trash can full and get on my case. And I don't do it. And he busses me all the time. And he's right here right now. God bless him. Love you, Dad. Ezra didn't wait. He did it right now. He got there. Let's set it up, guys. Let's get it done. Let's do God's work right now. You need to do things today. Today's important. Only right now matters. And right now, from here forward, it's what's going to determine your future. Right now matters because it's going to determine your future. And maybe many people, here it is. Many people stuck are in yesterday. Many people are stuck on tomorrow. Right now is important. Oh, it's because yesterday this happened. And last week this happened. Oh, I got to do this tomorrow. Look at what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says. Where did I put it at? Matthew 6:34. So don't ever worry about tomorrow. After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Right now is the time. Do things today, folks. Get it done. Get involved. Work on your family. Work on your marriage. Read your scripture. Find texts that'll help you. Find the verses. Find the people. Find the counselors. Find someone. Find something that has to do with God that'll help you make things happen today. Second point, work together. You need to work together. Look at verse 15. I took this one verse and just tore it up, and I'm going to make a sermon out of it, and here it is. The second point is work together. And then it says, and we camped there for 3 days. They all worked together. You see it? We camped. We set it up together. Ezra didn't do all the work. Me and Jerry and Jeremiah aren't here alone in the mornings. It takes the body. It takes the church. And they work together. See, Brady didn't win the NFL Super Bowl on his own, did he? Whoops, I hope there is another rivals here. Brady did not win the Super Bowl by himself. Thank you, Brother Frank. It was the team. A quarterback needs to be a good quarterback, but he needs to have a good team. And it takes the body of Christ. See, lots of families, churches, companies are tore up and broken up because they will not work together. They don't choose to. They choose to make it their own way on their own time. Oh, we'll fix this another time. We'll wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Work together. There's many families take the time to trade hurtful words and hateful actions. Harmful actions. We make time for that, don't we? Well, you know what? You start going at each other. Well, you know what? Your mama. What about my mama? No, your mama. Don't be talking about my mom. Well, leave my dad out of it. What were we arguing about? I don't know. We fight about the dumbest things, but we make time for that, don't we? We make time to get those words in that hurt. Those physical actions that are not of God. We take the time to do that, don't we? I'm not innocent. Before Christ, I was an evil man. Now ask my wife what she sees. She's my only witness. Ask her. I just want to love her. Is she perfect? No. Am I? No. But I work at it. I give Jesus the time to work in me so I can love her and love people and love to preach God's word and love to drum and love to talk with all of you. You know, I'm so glad I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it. A couple of weeks ago, I love what Jeremiah and Jerry said in their sermons, and I'm going to add a third piece to it. Jeremiah said a couple of weeks ago, some of you are pretty lazy employees. Then Jerry said, week after that, some of you need to get off your butts. And I will say boldly, some of you Christians are being lazy. Being lazy. You need to make that time. There's no excuse. You can change. Things can change. Work together. But if you don't make the time to pray, stop and pray about it. Folks, I've been in arguments with my past partner, and when we were arguing, I go, you know what? Let's stop. Let's just pray. Stop and pray. If you feel you're going to have an altercation with your partner, a loved one, stop. You know what? Let's pray this out. Because that's the devil. That's the enemy. That's self. That's pride. That a lot of it, that's your past you're bringing in from the things you carried into this relationship. And we carry them in, and they hurt. We need to leave the past in the past. And the devil, the number one accuser, it says in the scripture, he's the accuser of the brethren 24/7. He's always bringing up our past to make us fight. Don't live in the past. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. Amen. And work together. I'll always say it's like working out. You don't get buff overnight. You got to hit the weights and sweat and push and make those muscles burn. To lose weight, dieting, oh, I'm hungry again. Oh, I have an apple again. It takes work. You got to put in your time. And get a partner. Work together. Families, I encourage you, work it out. Talk about it. Sit down and pray and get it out. You will never get past it until you get it out. Jesus says, if you confess to one another, 1 John 1:1 says, if you confess your sins to one another, you'll be set free. I want to be transparent to my wife. To my new father-in-law, and to all of you. That's why I don't have nothing to hide. You might run into someone in the street. Oh, I knew Frank. They used to call him Kile. That's his street name, Kile. And boy, he was bad. And I know some of you say, yeah, I know he was, but have you seen him lately? Go talk to him now. He'll talk your ear off about Jesus if you want to talk about God. See, they'll always bring up your past. Forget the past. Do things today. Work together. Last point. Get it done. Last point, get it done. Verse 15, towards the end of this same text. And then Ezra says, I went over the list of the people of remnant, and the people and the priests who had arrived, and I found that not one Levite had volunteered to come along. Where were they? They were too busy doing their own thing. Remember in Vegas? Casifia. Are you in Casifia? Are you too busy? Are you spending more time in Casifia? What's your Casifia? A screen? Food, alcohol, anger? Something holds you there. And only you can break it, because all you got to do is get on your knees and say, Jesus, take this from me. I don't want this no more. Is it going to happen overnight? No. I've been preaching 12 years. I've been saved almost 17. And I have been praying every day, God, change me. You don't do it once. Keep knocking on the door, man. Jesus says, knock on the door, remember? And what did he say he'll do? Open it. Are you even knocking? Or are we knocking on all these doors in Casifia? Your anger, your past, your things. We're free in Christ now, folks. Ezra was getting it done for God. He called the followers to the carpet. And through God's power and his spirit right now, God is calling you to the carpet right now. To leave Casifia. To leave your old ways and break some things off. Where you were in bondage. Where were the Levites and God's people? Too busy doing their own thing. These Levites knew they were free. And they can do whatever. That's what they thought. That's why they went to Casifia. We're free now. We have our own rights. We're going to go party in Casifia. Look at Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, remnant church. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in what? In what? Love. This smile you see, it's the love of Christ. This passion, this energy. A good friend asked me earlier, Frank, well, where did you get the energy after that whole long week you had? Jesus, his word, praying, going through stuff, and loving on my wife. Love. It's right there, folks. There's no excuse. You need to work at it. We're free. We've been made free in Jesus. But you choose to be in your own bondage of your life, of your things, of your time. Yes, we're free in Christ now, but we need to work at it to get it done today, to work together. We need to take time to give to God and join in God's work. Look at Philippians 1:21. And I'm finished here. Philippians 1:21. Christ means everything to me in this life. And when I die, it'll even mean more. It'll even mean more. This is the GWT translation, God's Word translation. Sounds almost like the New Living Translation. There's a lot of translations. I've been liking this scripture, the way it's worded. God's Word translation. However it's worded, Christ should mean everything to you. You should give Him the time. Are we choosing to live free lives in our own time or giving our free time for Jesus? Amen.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You